This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So I have friends all over the country, and I talk to them all the time. Thank God I'm in a digital media. And so my whole job is done in my mankini. I'm sitting here right now in a tank top and a mankini. Nobody can see me. It's cool. I'm very comfortable. The air conditioning's on. So I called Stephen Cole Smith, motorsports expert, Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. And the first words out of his mouth are what? End of times. And I said, yes, you're right. End of times. And you know what? I'm still very comfortable in my mankini. I want you to know that.
Well, East Coast is a little behind, not time-wise, but trend-wise for you West Coasters. I don't even know what a mankini is, man.
Let me tell you, you'll have to explain to me what it is. I will. I'm happy to do that. Girls have different equipment up front.
Yeah.
And so it takes a little bit larger patch of material for the mankini versus the bikini that women wear.
Okay.
And that's really it. You get them from, not Victoria's Secret, but Victor's Secret. It's...
That truly is a secret.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, because now people are going to go to Victor's Secret and find these wonderful net, kind of a fishnet design mankinis that I have several of them, multiple colors.
Do they have the tailor design yet? I mean, is it...
No, I don't have my own particular. I could get one, though, like with little cars on it and stuff like that. But
you should. Yeah.
My wife typically will leave.
Mask.
When I come out of the bedroom with my mankini on, she just walks out the door. I don't. Maybe it's because I'm 25 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
If
you're properly equipped with a face mask, it's actually a trikini, I would guess. Because you've got top, middle, and bottom covered.
There you go. I'm getting it. Who says I have a top on? I can't call it a wife beater, but it's a tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be PC, but this show is not PC. I guess I could call it whatever I want. But it's, I got a little belly. I don't like to show it off.
I've got more than that, yeah. And believe me, the older you get, the harder it is to get rid of it. I mean, when I go to Donut King and get a dozen donuts, the next thing you know, you weigh the donut. I mean, they can't weigh a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, how can you gain so much?
If I'm eating, a pound of food a week, how am I gaining 5 pounds? It just doesn't, I don't get it.
Steve, I am fatter than I've been in a decade right now from this COVID, pandemic. And add riots to that. Add the fear.
Yeah.
With that, I need more comfort food. I've turned the air conditioning up because I'm sweating out of fear. But it's anxiety sweat, And then for whatever reason, my body seems to go into this, dare I say, little shock of I need sugar. So I will listen. I had a hamburger. Yesterday was a weird day. I had a hamburger, a calzone, a donut, and a bowl of ice cream for lunch. I think I'm pregnant.
Food groups to me.
Yeah, right. But I've taken up drinking soda water now. I'm drinking this new stuff. I'm looking at it right now. It's called AHA Sparkling Water. I've got blueberry pomegranate and zero calories and everything. So I figure if I eat all that, but then I take away, from the normal calories I would be drinking with my AHA soda water that makes me belch like a cow.
Right.
That I'm actually saving myself. So I kind of think it's kind of a wash.
Right. I do the same thing. I mean, I talk about comfort food and comfort drink. Maybe an hour ago, I drove through an intersection that had maybe 150 protesters in it. And, the next thing instead of drinking the kind of soda that you just described, which I've been addicted to for 6 months, I want a large McDonald's Coke.
Oh.
I want a Coca-Cola. I have to have it. I have to have it now. Well, then, it's just like a dollar, and the next thing I feel better until I You know, that what's that it's sound medicine. That the straw makes when you finish it, that like,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
I feel good until that, when it's over and I know, well,
but you know what, Steve?
1,000 calories
Steve,
on every event.
Let me give you this is the answer. Another dollar is another fix. It's a cheap drug. Let's take a break. Sodas are only a dollar. And if you're a senior citizen, I think they're only like 85 cents. We'll take a break. This is The Drive. Clearly, today is a different kind of a day. It's a different world. End of times. We might as well start breaking out the mankinis. You know you want to wear one. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. This is The Drive. I know what you're thinking right now. What the living hell? But how do you act normal when you're in the end of times? The world is burning down. The plague has hit us and taken half of the old people out. Young people are partying in the streets because they're not going to get the COVID. They don't care. And I'm going to start joining the protesters. Oh, I mean, the raping and pillaging group. And because they're getting free stuff. And there's no motorsports really happening except virtual stuff. Stephen Cole Smith joining us. How do you act normal, Steve? I don't know that we can. We'll just do the best we can for now.
I don't know. I mean, one of the people talking about the, I don't know the word for it, riots.
That's it, riots.
Just said that the people are grieving in public. And, you know, I
steal when I grieve. I admit it. I had a Twinkie the other day. And I stole it. I was grieving, and I told the people, I'm grieving. I need a Twinkie. I'm protesting. And they said, okay, if you're protesting, you can steal. You can take whatever you want and just go out, go back out there and finish catching that cop car on fire. And that's what happens.
Alan, I mean, how do you think I feel? I am a degree journalist.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm 62 inches to be a journalist. And I'm a former cop.
I was going to say.
Well, what's the worst? That's the two most hated. I mean,
You are. And, I'm coming to your house to burn your house down.
I'm rated above journalists and cops right now. And I was both. Holy cow. Oh. I mean, I'm surprised my in-laws haven't, you know, just written me off.
It's a good thing Stephen Cole Smith is your stage name. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, man. You got the president of General Motors pissed off at you, and now all the rioters are coming to your house. Who was it? Somebody told me.
It's end of days, man. End of days.
You know, Greg Gutfeld from Fox News, he did a show called Red Eye. I thought he's a comedian. Yeah. I always thought he was kind of funny. He was so depressed.
He thinks he's kind of funny.
He does. I think he's about 5'4". Anyway, and so he's got that kind of that short guy syndrome where, you know, he's just kind of snarky and he'll kick you in the ankle and run off and laugh.
Right.
But he was bummed out, man. He was bummed out because the rioters were trying to get in his house, literally beating on his house, you know, of course, in New York City. You call it a house. It's probably one of those buildings there. But beating on his house or his walls with hammers, trying to get in. And so it takes the, let me tell you, raping and pillaging is not easy. And being on either side of it, you know, it's like none of it is good. So you're right. It is end of times. Nobody's happy.
Yeah.
No one's happy. And when they're done raping and pillaging, they haven't got enough. Like they break into the Nike store and they steal 8 pairs of tennis shoes. That's not enough. They go next door and they get the Breitling watch they've always wanted. They stole 70, I guess it was Hellcats, perfect name for the cars they stole.
Yeah.
They stole like 70 cars from a car dealership and were joyriding. That's not good enough for them. They're never happy. They want more. So there's no happy. There's no joy in raping and pillaging. No joy at all.
Well, raping and pillaging and burning. I mean, after you've stolen what you want, set the place on fire.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you got to burn
you completely destroy
evidence. Whatever
it is that you've been complaining about.
Well, the evidence. And so talking about cars, as we, you know, and again, how do you do a normal show when the world is burning down? So we are deviating a little bit. We'll try to get some motorsports talking. There's not much to talk about, but we'll try and get some in there in a minute. But what about those cars, all those Hellcats and Red Eyes that they stole from Dodge dealer, I guess. I guess they burned a Mercedes that was in the showroom. But don't those cars have tracking devices on them of some sort? Even if it's the satellite radio, can't they find these cars? I mean, are the thieves that stupid? Or they must have just joyride and drop it off, and you know they're taking turns with it. But I got to think they can find these cars somehow.
I would imagine, but I'm not sure that these guys have thought this through completely. You know, I kind of feel like it's pretty well impulsive and
well,
and burn anything, but definitely anything that has all, you know, OnStar
right.
or any of that stuff.
Well, that would be GM products.
Pick up on quickly.
But here's the deal. But they are thinking this stuff through because they're dropping off pallets of bricks all over the place, you know. Right? I mean, have you heard about this? And Antifa is organized because they're busing people around. So there's got to be some organization. Somebody, let me tell you, Antifa or whoever it is, you better let those guys with the cars know that they could be caught. Then it wouldn't be good, but they let them back out again. Oh, yeah, because they're protesters. They just let them right back out. So no big deal. Don't worry about it. Have fun. Have fun, guys. You know? Good Lord. End of times. You're right.
Yeah. It's just,
ugh, God, no. Oh, you know what they just told me?
This is not what I thought my golden years would be spent like.
I know, me neither. They just told me, you're supposed to take a break. Oh, God. See, I even forgot to do the show right. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Yes, I'm Alan Taylor. Write that name down because that's who you're going to want to complain to when you say, these guys weren't talking about cars. Go ahead. What's it going to do? They lock me up. They're going to let me right back out. You know why? I'm protesting the protesters, which makes me a protester. I'm protesting myself. Oh, geez, I'm screwed. Oh, Stephen Cole Smith. By the way, Josh Hancock's coming up next. And he's got nothing to talk about because they're not making movies. He's the movie car guy. They're not making movies. So we have 2 hours here to talk about what we're supposed to talk about, but we can't talk about much of any of it. Is there any racing going on here lately?
Yeah, there's I got a little racing. There's a race tomorrow, Sunday, June 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern, Green Flag 323, the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. I think Atlanta was supposed to be the third race of the season for NASCAR. So this is it, Atlanta Motor Speedway. There's a full field of 40 cars, but the, let's say, good seats still available as in every single one because there's going to be nobody there, and there's going to be four journalists selected by NASCAR to cover it. So, yeah, pretty exciting. But one thing that's kind of interesting, you know, Le Mans, the 24 Hours of Le Mans was supposed to be June 13th and 14th. There's going to be a 24 Hour of Le Mans Virtual. That's the name of it. There's some IMSA guys in it. I think there's 50 cars. And, you know, as you know, you have to swap drivers. You've got at least three or four drivers. And that's what they're going to be doing. So, you know, how does somebody get out of a virtual car and somebody in a different country hop into the virtual car and drive it and how many people are going to watch all 24 hours of basically cartoon cars going around, you know, a cartoon track with a cartoon reset that if they crash, they get to come back. It certainly would cut the budget a lot if this is how we did the 24 hours of Le Mans. But I guess we're going to see how it works. It's June 13th and 14th.
Here's the thing. You got to picture that all these guys are going to be, you know, of course, in the middle of the night. They're going to get out of bed when it's their turn and maybe watch for a half an hour and see what's going on. They're sitting there in their boxer shorts and, you know, eating an old cold pizza that they, you know, bought 2 days ago because the rioters are taking out all the pizza parlors. So, you know, it's just an odd time in history. 2020, what a year to have all this go on, a year that will live in infamy because of the insanity.
Something happened that's even more bizarre. I mean, you remember Kyle Larson, you know, kind of took himself out of NASCAR by uttering one word on a pre-race radio frequency.
Yeah.
You remember that? Well, something weirder has happened. The Formula E guys, you know, the electric kind of Formula One type cars, one of their drivers, Daniel Abt, the ABTs, the guy's been racing with them since this started, he didn't feel like racing in the Formula E virtual race, so he brought in a ringer. He brought in a professional, and there are professional virtual race guys. So he didn't even show up. He brought in this guy, and everybody thought it was him, except for the fact that the guy finished like third and qualified like second, and the other guy is like barely on the map. So they figured out that he didn't even show up. He just like deeded it over to some professional to make him look good. And now he's out of his ride. He got fired by Audi, I think.
Wait. But there's no actual ride because it was a virtual thing, right? It was like a video game.
When Formula E finally does come back someday, he's fired.
Oh, I see. Which serves him right. Cheater, cheater. Oh,
he's virtually fired from his real car.
Oh, my gosh. What
I mean,
a weird
You can't make this
year.
Up. I mean, if Paddy Chayefsky tried to write this, you know, 30 years ago, people would have gone crazy. I mean, Paddy, what the hell are you thinking? There's no possible way. No way that this is going to happen. And on top of that, Donald Trump is the president? Really? No. Come on. What, Howard Stern's a vice president? You know, just make it a little more believable, Paddy. Not going to work that way.
No, honestly, we're all going to wake up one day and shake our heads and go, what just happened? I had the weirdest dream. Nope, that's reality.
It is who shot JR. We're going to wake up and we're going to be in somewhere in Dallas in the shower, and Paula, whatever her name is, that dreamed that for Dallas, is going to wake up, and it's all going to be, you know. And I ain't going to miss it a bit.
You going anywhere this weekend? I mean, are you guys...
Where would I go? There's no place to go. I mean, there's some go-kart racing. A few of the local tracks are running, but they've got a lot of the grandstands roped off, where, like, you can sit here, but you can't sit here. You can sit here, but you can't sit here. I don't know. I mean, there's no... I'm not allowed to go to the NASCAR race because there's only four journalists, and I ain't one of them. And I'm not driving to Atlanta to watch a race with nobody there. Now, they are talking about bringing some people back for the first time in NASCAR at Homestead, which is, I think, June 13th and 14th.
Okay.
The rumor is some military personnel and maybe some ticket holders, like in the hundreds.
Oh, boy.
And then they'll start trickling back into the stands, I guess.
All right. Well, so, Stephen Cole Smith, Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. We're just trying to muddle through this together, and coming up next, we're going to not talk about what movies are being made with Josh Hancock, because we're all just screwed right now. Steve, thank you. Appreciate it.
I will listen with great interest, Alan. Always a pleasure.
All right, brother. Thank you. End of times. We'll be right back. What if I lose it all? Oh,
sister, I will help you out. Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, now part of DriveTribe.com and on the Facebook and social media. DriveTribe.com. Get on there and start your tribe. I've got mine. The man that used to match the car with the character and all things film and television is joining us now. I don't know what he's doing now since they're not making movies anymore. Josh Hancock.
I'm matching the military to the equipment that they need to roll down the street. No. I don't know.
So, first of all, you live right near Beverly Hills. Is it true, and are they actually doing like a 1 o'clock curfew? It's been going on all week this last week. Are they still doing that?
I had to have something notarized today, so I called the notary that I use, and she's like, well, you know, you have to get here and get back home by 1. I'm like, why? She said, because there's a curfew at 1 o'clock. I was like, holy schmoly,
yeah.
That's going to be great for your business.
For her business or my business for radio? What are you talking
her
about?
Business. Oh, her business.
Right. Well, anybody's business. I mean, you know, look, a friend of mine lives in Santa Monica, California. You're near Beverly Hills. We're talking about Beverly Hills. And, of course, you know, last weekend and all week long, we've seen all this craziness going on. But he lives in Santa Monica, and he says it's like a war zone. It's like a hurricane is coming. All the businesses are all boarded up and Pacific Palisades and all the, you know, areas of wealth, you might say. But in Beverly Hills, they're not taking crap from no one. They're protecting. Of course, because, you know, if you loot a, you know, like an Apple store or something, there's a lot of money there. You loot a tennis shoe store like Nike, there's not so much money. But you loot a store in Beverly Hills, like, you know, with diamond watches and stuff, you're talking big money. They're not going to put up with garbage there, I can tell you. I think it's kind of smart, personally, when the stupidity is going on.
Well, I think, you know, look, the fact that they can have there's a 6 o'clock curfew in the county of Los Angeles, right. And that's just a way to get people off the street.
Well, the stupid thing is, why would you have a curfew at 11 p.m. when, you know, it's like everything is that's going to happen is already in full swing at that point. If you're going to do a curfew, I think it's probably good. It should be before dark, because as soon as the darkness hits, you know, nothing good happens after midnight, if you know what I mean.
Or everything good happens depending on.
Well, not these days.
Person, you know.
Yeah, not these days. But anyway, so cars. There actually is a little bit of car news going on lately.
Well, you know, I'm just amazed that the car market isn't in worse shape. I mean, Hyundai just announced that they're going to be down 13%.
That's not really that much,
in their next reporting cycle. And one would have thought, you know, they'd be off 50%. I mean, in the first quarter of 2020, Lincoln was actually up 3%.
Bizarre.
So I would have expected a much bigger hit. You know, they need to ramp up production. Now we've got Hertz that's going to dump 500,000 cars into the used car market.
Right.
And the dealers are really wondering. I mean, you and I both know Galpin well. I talked to Galpin. They're like, you know, we're really happy so far, but we wonder whether this is just pent-up demand and it's going to run out quickly. But they're doing very well right now.
Bizarre. That's a big Ford dealer, but they also own, goodness gracious, they have Volkswagen, Subaru, Mazda.
Brands.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, so here's my question.
There's
Bronco.
No questions at this time.
No, I want a question. Leave me alone. Ford Bronco. I know this is supposed to be the big year for the release of the Ford Bronco. And here we are, June. And I thought there would have been more, you know, leakage, if you know what I'm saying. That's kind of like shrinkage. But if there's more leakage about the vehicle, and there hasn't been really all that much, I kind of think we know what it looks like now. But they're still holding their cards close to their chest. What do you know?
Well, I think there's been a lot of leakage. I mean, we have a full clear shot of the vehicle now on all four sides. We know what the Bronco Sport, the smaller version, is going to look like. What just came out in the last 24 hours is shots of both the two-door and the four-door in camo going through some of the muddiest terrain. Can't remember where it is, but, you know, it's going up steep hills in this very slick mud. So they're really teasing, showing the capability, which is what this is all about.
Right.
And they have also said there is going to be a 7-speed manual in the full-size Bronco.
7-speed manual transmission. Wow.
Yes. Oh. And they feel that. And the first gear is a crawl gear.
Oh.
So it's a 6-speed with a crawl gear.
Right. I was going to say
but
7.
They don't feel that they can effectively compete against the Wrangler, which has standard transmission, unless they do it.
Right. Interesting.
Now, the question is, they did not announce what's going to happen with the Bronco Sport and whether that would get a manual transmission, because that's really up against the Jeep Renegade.
Right.
And the Renegade is available with standard transmission. So we'll wait to see what happens there.
Gone are the days of the manual transmission for the most part, though. I mean, there's a
by
trickle of them.
Your chance.
I know, but it's the truth. You think manual transmission anymore, and we are all already conditioned to go, the automatic transmission they're making is amazing. I mean, if you look at the fact that you can change the algorithms in these 10-speed automatic transmissions, and you have so many more choices, and I want to change gears. Why? I mean, they're even in racing, it's faster. That's what classic cars are for.
I don't want to hear you talk
anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. Just hang up.
Look, I'll take it on the racetrack. There's no doubt about it.
I know.
But it doesn't have to do with efficiency. It has to do with driving experience. And that's it. So
listen,
say anything.
We're not arguing. We're just discussing, please.
Correct.
I called you an idiot. I apologize.
He is incorrect, and that's how it goes.
I'm about to take it back. Knock it off. All right, let's move on. So is there enough information on what's going to be powering these Broncos? I am sure it's going to be like an EcoBoost V6 or something. But is it going to be?
The base engine is probably going to be the 2.3 turbo that's in the Mustang.
Oh, 4-cylinder.
And that's also in the Focus RS, by the way. It's a very potent little motor.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on. They tell me I got to take a break. Hold on. Hang on, Mr. Television, Mr. All Things Film and Television, the guy that used to match the character with the car. Not anymore, because there's nothing going on. We'll take a little break. Josh Hancock joining us. I miss being able to see your face, but I'm happy I can't remember what it looks like, because as I remember, it used to give me nightmares. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Josh Hancock joining us. I honestly can't remember what the guy looks like, but he's the soul man. Josh, so we were talking about this Bronco, and I think we just let that one go. We just let it go.
No, just one more thing is they're going to offer as an optional engine the 2.7 V6.
I bet they're going to offer more than that, too.
which is an F-150 motor, and that's a great motor, too.
No, it's
well,
true.
It's not that heavy.
No, I know, but they need to make a Raptor version of it. You know they will. Ford Motor Company knows they will. And then they're going to put some bodacious 600 horsepower insane thing in there. And it's going to be the hottest thing on planet Earth for a couple of hours until somebody else says, okay, Ford, you know, here's what we've got. Now, it'll be, you know, maybe a Ram with something that'll have a Hellcat engine in it, God knows what. I know they're talking rumors of putting a Hellcat in one of their SUVs. So that's what I love about it. Even though the world is on fire, the Titanic is sinking, there's still pony wars. I love that.
You know what's amazing to me in this conversation is that nobody's really reacted in truth to the Raptor with all of its success.
Yes.
There are versions of both the Ram Rebel and a GM product, but they don't go as far as the Raptor does. And that's really surprising for the success of the Raptor.
Well, but wait a minute. We haven't seen the T-Rex yet, or whatever they're going to call it, right? The Ram,
excuse me, we're in second generation.
I know.
The Raptor.
I know. You're right. You know why? Because I don't know why. But anyway, yeah, let's move on to other things. But anyway, yeah, why haven't they? I don't know why. But all right, so before we run out of time, we got a lot to talk about here. The Mustang Mach 1. We might have mentioned it. I don't know. It's been a week since I talked to anybody about cars. Lately, it's been about, you know, what bullets should I have for my AK-47. But anyway, let's talk about cars. The Mach 1. What do you know?
Has been announced, Ford announced, that they're coming out with the Mach 1. And what it's going to replace, actually, is the Bullet. The Bullet will end production.
See? I knew it could get back around to bullets because of the anarchy that's going on. See? And good job, Josh.
Oh, God. You led me right into it.
Yeah, see?
So I think it's interesting. They've just showed a spy shot of the car, but they put two big fog lights in the grill.
Mm.
And I'm sure they'll do a good job with it. I mean, what they're not releasing is what they're going to do to the powertrain, if anything. I'm sure they'll spice it up a little bit. I mean, even the Bullet has a cold air intake. It's up 15 horsepower. It's got a little something. It always does. I bet they'll do a little bit more with the Mach 1 because there's nothing right now between a GT 5.0 and a Shelby GT 350. There's nothing in between that.
They're not making a Laguna Seca or anything like that right now? No, I guess not.
No. Yeah. No.
Interesting.
Not from the manufacturer. You go from a GT right to the next step is the Shelby GT 350.
There was one at a dealer here local to me recently, and I looked at the window sticker, and it was like 69 or 68,000 bucks for a GT 350.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a high performance automobile. Excuse me.
Yeah, but let me just tell you, Mr. Squeezer, the GT 500 only starts at like 71 or 2. If I'm going to spend that much for a GT 350, I'm going to step up to the GT 500. Squeeze me.
Okay. It's about $12,000 difference before you start adding your carbon fiber package to your GT 500, which is about $11,000.
I don't need that. But if I'm going to get to 69,000, I'm going to go to 72,000 and buy the GT. I'm either way.
No. And here's the other reason that you're not going to, even though you will, but I won't. You can only get a manual in the 350.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact, that's the only transmission that comes in that car. And the 500, the only transmission that comes in it, is an automatic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a big differentiator between the two cars.
I think that they would be foolish, Ford Motor Company would be foolish not to do something special with the Mach 1. It's an iconic name. They need to do something a little bit so that it's got some something going on. And people, go, hey, ooh, a Mach 1.
Let's face it. I think we've talked through the years, as many years as I've been on the radio with you, that I would love to erase
What do you mean? I already have. You're not even on any of the podcasts. We're talking about erasing. It's so easy to do it digitally.
How many years have we said every time somebody comes out with another version of a Mustang and people still buy it? I mean, I say that in a nice way. I'm a Mustang owner, but it's hard to believe that that market can sustain the Roush and the Celine.
You know why? Do you know why?
And it does.
I'll tell you why. Because they come out with these electric things and try to call them cars. And us car guys, they want the gasoline, the internal combustion. We want that. They make it well in a Mustang, but I don't know what they're doing with that other thing that's got an electric motor in it. That's just terrible. Horrible. I don't know what to think about it.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Like me, domestic, not domesticated, this show is brought to you in part by Dodge. Thank God they're domestic, but not domesticated. Talking about domesticated, I got Josh Hancock on the line here. Very domesticated. I love you. You know that? I absolutely love you, man. You're just a good human being.
Provoke.
I have to say that because otherwise he'd probably throw a lawsuit at me. Anyway.
Well, or I just press the hang up button.
So let's talk about Hollywood for a minute.
Never done.
Oh,
never
you that. Know what? But I'll get you there someday. Don't worry about it. What is Hollywood doing when they're, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine the budgets that are being just destroyed right now by this pause in making movies for the last, what's it been, 3 or 4 months? 4 months? 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, so, look, the green light has been given to productions in Georgia, and I'm not sure about New York, but and everybody in the industry, and it's been well publicized that Tyler Perry owns his own studio, right?
Oh.
It was a military base.
Well, Tyler Perry's kind of like the Elon Musk of manufacturing. In other words, he can do what he wants.
Making,
right.
Of production, yes. Yeah. He's a very talented guy, not only as an actor, but as a producer and understanding the business. And let's face it, he's done extremely well.
Yeah.
And I met him on the set of Vice and couldn't be a nicer guy.
Really?
And so Tyler Perry, you know, he's been working with the state of Georgia. And his idea is, so he brings in everybody. He brings in the whole crew. And because he owns this facility and there's lots of places, he can put up the whole crew.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you come in for 3 weeks and you work really hard. And he's got a television thing that he's doing. And he's going to get a whole season done in 3 weeks.
Whew. You know what? I would love to see him do, by the way.
He hangs on to everybody, and they're not allowed to leave the facility.
Well, that's smart. And, you know, he probably checks their temperature
and he's got tests and the whole thing.
So I would like to see, and feel free to send this clip to Tyler Perry. What is the character that he plays, where he plays like a big, you know, giant black woman?
Madea.
I would love to have him dress up like Madea and go down to one of these areas where they're rioting and take, you know, the whole dress like a old lady, whatever he dresses up like, and take his purse and everything and just go down there and just start telling all those guys, you guys go, and just start hitting him with his purse, you know, and just clean that place out. Wouldn't that be funny?
Well, here's the difference. You know, there's a lot of peaceful protests, and that's fine. The guy that we don't like are the looters.
It's the looters, of course. I don't care if people protest.
But I think he could break up anything as Madea. I think Madea could break up anything.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like Batman, you know, Madea. Yeah. She's come and save the day. Anyway.
So the producers in Hollywood formed this group, and they're working with UCLA Medical, and they put out a white paper yesterday on what they're proposing. Now, we have 26 unions in Hollywood, and everybody has to agree. They're putting out what they think are going to be the guidelines to get us back into production. And, of course, there have to be guidelines. I'm just going to focus on transportation because this is a car show.
Right.
So, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, all of your talent is driven to the set because you need to control them. You can't have anybody late. You can't have anybody get into an accident. It ruins the whole movie and the crew.
Right, right.
And in order to bond them, you are required to put them in a car. So they're wondering whether the talent is going to be okay in a car being driven, or whether they're going to want a family member to drive them. And we're talking about maybe going back to a limousine that would put 6 feet between the driver and the talent.
Oh, my gosh. This whole thing, come on. They're not doing it with the rioters and with all the people that are protesting. And I'll bet that nobody gets it. I think the whole COVID thing.
We are going to have a spike. We'll have a spike.
Oh, BS. You know, the only spike you're going to have is Spike Lee. Anyway. But you're in Hollywood. That's it. Josh Hancock.
You are with Rush Limbaugh. So that's the difference.
That's right. I am.
Yes.
All right. I got to go.
Give him the Medal of Honor and he'll say anything. So.
I got to go. I got to go. The news is going to run us over. Just don't worry about it. We'll talk next week about what's actually happening. Put a week in between it.
Josh, I'm glad we got our digs in.
Josh Hancock, I love you. JoshCarr.com. This is The Drive. We'll be back.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So, all right, the first hour is probably one for the record books, where I don't think we really talked about any cars for more than 4 or 5 minutes for the whole hour. Josh was talking about the, the Mach 1. Very, very little information, but that's Josh. He said what he had to say. I threw him off the show. I couldn't get him off quick enough. He knows it. I told him, I said, get off the show. And he laughed at me. And I laughed back at him, and that was the end of that. So now if I want more information, I actually call the guy that always brings it to the table. And I love Josh, and everybody knows that, but we joke around far too much. Carl Brower. Carl Brower is executive publisher, and I got to tell you, you're going to laugh at this. On this sheet, it says you work at the Boston Globe and U.S. News and World Report. So let me just tell you, that's wrong.
I won't even subject you to my bad Boston accent. I definitely don't work there.
So Kelly Blue Book, Autotrader and Dealer.com, but that's pretty darn funny, right? Okay, so we were talking about, and I'm glad you weren't in the first hour of the show, because I'm pretty sure that the network will probably shred the tape or the CD or they'll somehow delete the entire show. But it was pretty darn funny. So anyway, the Mach 1 Mustang, I've heard from Carl, by the way, that the GT350 is going to be discontinued. Now, hold on, because that's news to me. And I don't know where you got this news, Carl.
Well, and let me confirm. That's my understanding from various rumblings. So if someone says to me, so you mean Ford has confirmed they're discontinuing the 350? No, they have not. But my understanding is that...
I hope you're wrong. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the GT350.
Yes, you are.
And you can go on their website currently and spec one and order one. And I keep wondering if I should do something while I can, because I don't think you're going to have the option much longer. I just have this feeling, this sense, you know, a couple of things I've heard, and not from Bill Ford, but things I've just heard rumblings through other people in the industry that,
you know, the walls talk a little bit. Yeah. So, but see, here's a funny thing is I was at a local dealer the other day. I told this story on the air. I can't remember if it was you or who it was, and they had a white GT350 in the showroom in a small town in Oregon. And I thought, what is this doing here? And I walked over and looked at it, and the window sticker was $69,000. I thought, wowza, that's a lot of money. And then, of course, the GT500, which is supposed to be a big step up, was, you know, the window sticker on that's like $76,000. Of course, yes, you can add $35,000 worth of stuff to that in a heartbeat, as friends of mine have done. But it just seems like that the GT500 is more car for the money. And then just before we got started, I had this conversation with Carl, and he's like, well, let's just talk about this for a minute. And you really feel like that perhaps the GT350 might be a more fun and rewarding driving experience on the track and other places. Of course, it's a manual transmission, where the GT500 is only that automatic paddle shift. So I don't know. I mean, if they stop making the GT350, does that make it, you know, more desirable to people? Because, I mean, I guess it does. And maybe I should change my mind, because I'm kind of eyeballing a GT500 right now.
Well, first of all, let's just get it clear that they're both amazing cars. They both have specifications and performance number claims that, when you look at what you pay and what you get, are substantial. And a great bargain, and typical, in my mind, at least as a clear American fan, typical of American performance cars. You know, whether you talk Corvette or Mustang or Challenger, you get a lot of car for the money. So I think personally, as someone who's driven both of them on the track, the GT350 was the most fun I've ever had. And I've driven a lot of cars. GT250 is the most fun I've ever had on the track. Not for a muscle car, not for an American car, not for a Mustang. It's the most fun I've ever had on a track.
That
comes from the fact that it's got that flat plane V8 engine that revs to like 8,800 RPM and makes this broad torque band all the way across there and sounds amazing. Plus, it's not just all about that. It also goes around corners really well and stops well and does all these things really well.
All right, hold tight.
So that's my favorite car for a track.
Wow. That's you're talking big stuff there for the Mustang people.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going, what? Coming back, we're going to talk about yet another heritage Mustang, the Mach 1. Maybe Carl's got some more information than Josh did. We're going to see what he's got. This is The Drive. See, we're talking about cars now. What do you know? We'll be right back.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, our show part of Drive Tribe. You can find I have my own tribe at drivetribe.com. You can go to Facebook page, 1.5 million or so people. Drive Tribe, pretty cool. Carl Brower joining us, my buddy, my pal. We're talking about Mustangs right now. The Mach 1. I know, Carl, that you probably have, as you always have, a little insider information, and you sometimes are willing to spill the beans. Is this a heritage car, or is it just some stripes and God knows what? You know, because it's like, I hate to be faked out. I hate it when I buy the M BMW, the M Sport, or whatever they call it, which is really just a performance look, but they forget to put the performance in it. You know what I mean? But you're also not, you're not paying for it. But it's like, I don't want to be faked out. I want, if I'm buying, if it says an M from BMW, it better be performance. If it says AMG, it better mean performance. If it says Mach 1, I don't want the Mach 1 stripes. I want performance. So what do you think here?
It should break the sound barrier. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
The Mach 1, I think, is going to be extremely well-timed in that I think it's going to provide people who want the ultimate version of the 5-liter Mustang that is out there in GT form right now for anyone to buy. It's going to be the ultimate version of that. And it's going to cost a little more, but it's going to also provide more performance even than, and then, by the way, the top version of the GT Mustang GT with 5.0 with the performance pack and all that put on is an incredibly capable car. Once again, great value for the dollar. But if this thing raises that envelope further, I think it'll live up to the Mach 1 name. Now, that said, one of my things that I considered a Mach 1 kind of mainstay of that whole name and vibe was the Shaker hood scoop. I had a friend with a 69 Mach 1, and he had the hood scoop that was mounted right on the engine, stuck through the hood and shook when the hood, when the engine idled, even though that's officially the name they use in the Mopar ones. But if any hood that's like that, people now call a Shaker hood. Well, it will not have that. Now, I don't think Ford's confirmed that, but I've heard through my sources that there will not be a Shaker hood on the modern one. And I would have loved to have seen that because, again, going to the Challenger as a brief example, I think one of the reasons the Challenger sales have done so well, despite the fact that the basic platform that car sits on is so archaic, is because Dodge knows how to just keep tweaking all those old guy and young guy performance car.
Wait a minute. Did you say God?
I'm loving it.
God knows how to keep tweaking. What did you say? God?
Well, he knows how to do that too. No, Dodge.
Oh,
Dodge
knows how. What?
God knows too, by the way. God also knows. But
yeah, Dodge is
good at that. Knows how to take all those classic performance cues, whether it's stripe packages, whether it's a Shaker hood, you know, whether it's Hemi references and Hemi badging, and stick it all over the various versions of the modern Challenger and continue to grow the sales of that car for the 10 years since it's gone on sale without any major design updates or changes. And I would like to see Ford, as much as they do a pretty good job with things like GT500s and Bullets and GT350s, I would love to see them further play up all those classic Mustang nameplate performance version styling and functional cues. And to me, it would have been cool on this Mach 1 to have a Shaker hood.
I agree. And Josh was saying that they'll discontinue the Bullet and replace it with the Mach 1. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, and I get it. The Bullet was like a mild performance thing, and it was based on the movie Bullet with Steve McQueen. And Mach 1, you know, it's got its place in history. But then they have to sit it next to Mach E. And I don't know. Have you driven a Mach E yet, other than, you know, like a little around the block thing?
No, I've not driven that yet. But if you're suggesting that the timing of the Mach 1 and the Mach E might somehow have been purposely collaborated and coordinated, I think you might be right.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to say because, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess they're going to offer, you know, something for the people that like electric cars, the Tesla type people. And then they still got to be like, you know, the muscle car guys, like you're talking about, you know, Mach 1. All right. It's like classic rock.
Yeah.
Right. They know how to pluck our heartstrings. And us car guys, you know, I keep on, you know, like every year I'm buying another new car and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, somebody stop me. I can't help myself. It's a drug. Oh, Carl, hang tight. We've got so much to talk about. Let's just hope that the Mach 1 is what we dream about as car guys. Carl Brower is the executive publisher at Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader. We'll be right back. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Thanks to Subaru. God bless them. This is The Drive, and, you know, my buddy Carl Brower's on the line. He's with Kelly Blue Book, KBB.com, and Auto Trader, AutoTrader.com. Carl, can I ask you a question? I mean, this is just a wackadoodle show today, but, I mean, if we want to get serious for a minute, what are we going to do to get, you know, the cars selling again? Because there's bankruptcies, you know. I mean, it's like there's so many things we could talk about in normal times and we'd have real answers and great discussions. Right. But you got Hertz going bankrupt and Advantage rental car. There's going to be a glut of cars. There's all the cars that have not been sold. 2020 is halfway over right now. And I'm looking at buying a 2020, maybe get a Shelby Mustang GT500. It's already, 2021 should be coming out. And people haven't finished, you know, loving on the 2020s because the whole year got kind of sucked out of us, you know. But how are we going to get people to start buying cars like normal again? You know, and then the stock market. What is going on? It's like, you know, there's right. The stock market keeps going up. And I don't know. I'm confused, Carl. Help.
So what I think is a good way to describe this, what I've been saying to people is picture you're on your computer. And you've got multiple windows open and you're getting a bunch of work done. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I got to go, you know, out to dinner, or I got to go to a meeting, you know, or I got to go pick up my wife. She's calling me, the car broke down. You're going to shut down your computer, close all those windows, kind of find a nice stopping point, shut it down. Then you're going to come back later and turn your computer back on and kind of pick things back up. What happened in this industry was you had all those windows open. You had multiple things going on and the power went out for the house and the computer just shut off in the middle of everything. And now we are trying to fire the power finally is starting to come back on and they're firing up the computer. And it's been a couple of weeks, by the way. You didn't just immediately get the power to come back on. A couple of weeks went by. So now you're trying to fire up a computer that you haven't had on for multiple weeks, multiple months, however you want to say it. And there were 17 different things you were working on when it went out like that. You're not sure what the status is of those things. Did the automatic saving memory stuff save, and where was that when it went out?
Right.
You got to get the computer fired up. All those windows have to be open.
A million other problems. The way they were. Others, saying. Yeah.
That's what the automotive industry is right now, because normally when there's a downturn, it's this relatively drawn out process. You know, even in the 2008, 2009 thing, you know, Lehman Brothers goes under and all of a sudden everyone starts realizing, wait a sec, I think we're in trouble. And over the next like 8 to 12 months, depending on how you want to measure it, we clearly were in trouble and we saw all the things. Well, that was an 8 to 12 month glide path that we all were on, and everything just kind of wound down slowly. This was not a glide path, as you and I and everyone else knows full well. This was a March, you know, 7th, I'm wondering how good sales are going to be this month, and maybe I should buy this new car, my job's going. And a week later, on March 13th, you know, holy crap, Tom Hanks just got the coronavirus, and every place, every hotel and Disneyland and theme park and company just told everyone to go home and not come back for who knows how long.
Right.
It blew the system apart. And now we've got to restitch everything back together, all the suppliers, all the distributors, all the plants, and we've got to restitch it under the circumstances of, you know, social distancing and how close can people stand, and all the unemployment and all the backlog of cars that couldn't have been auctioned because you couldn't have run auctions, and all the cars that couldn't be sold and all the cars that weren't produced. You know, the used car market's a mess right now because it seems like there's going to be a glut of them, but that's only after they get run through auctions and put on the new lots that they need to be on. But a lot of them haven't had that done. So you have dealers out there who know right now today they don't have very many new or used cars, but know that they're going to be swimming potentially in them in another 1 to 2 months at the most, once everything's fired back up. So do they get rid of their cars now and have nothing for a few weeks, or do they hold the prices up and try to get more for them, but then risk that they're going to have a flood of cars that they're going to have to try to get rid of suddenly? They're going to be swimming in cars. Nobody is 100% sure where it's all going to end and how we're all going to get there to having everything resynchronized, but it's going to take a little while, and there's going to be a lot of unknowns, a lot of variables people are just going to have to try to figure out and make it up as they go along.
You know, to your point, my dad, 92 years old, he has a 2002 Mercedes CLK 320. And we thought, well, he hasn't driven it in 3 years. And it's time to, you know, sell it. It's like he just doesn't drive it. He's old, and it's time for him to stop driving. And so I got it out, and it was like the battery was dead. Couldn't get in the trunk because, you know, the battery was dead and the keys, you know, not working, and the battery's dead. It's in the trunk. You can't even believe what we had to do to get in there. But once we got the car started, and I was so happy by the time I got that far, it was like, oh, it started. Now, every light on the dashboard was on. The airbag lights were, I mean, it was like, what is going on? This car was perfect when we stopped driving it. And so now, yep, I took it to the dealer, and while it sat there, one of the seatbelt, like the tensioners, which has to do with the SRS system, the airbag system, has gone bad from sitting, believe it or not. So that's $1,400. And then, you know, it's like, it was like $5,000 worth of stuff just because it, you know, the battery was dead. So like you said, the power went out and it was out for a long time. There's a ripple effect of problems, which we're going to be experiencing now. And then the supply chain, we haven't even talked about all those companies that were the just-in-time companies that were there to help are now also going, we've been shut down for a little while. You know, we got some, you have to give us a little more time, you know. So the ripple effect, it ripples back and forth. Stay with us. Let's talk a little bit more about this. What is going to happen? We don't know. That's the sad part. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you
whispering the words to melt everyone. But you Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I'm so thankful for our sponsors. Of course, Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. And we must talk about all the Dodge Demons and Hellcats that got stolen in the rioting. Also, thanks to our friends over at Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. Let's just talk about Dodge for a second. So 70 Hellcats and Red Eyes were stolen, and they're joyriding. Not 70. They broke into a car dealership and stole 70 of these cars. I mean, that must have been a fun night. I mean to tell you, I don't care if you're a looter or you're a, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether a rioter. That was some fun rioting, Carl. Carl Brower joining us.
There's joyriding and there's joyriding. What's that saying? Drive it like you stole it.
Yeah, so, there you go. Boom. Oh, my gosh. So now you sent me something about something in, what was it, Oakland, California? What happened there? A Mercedes dealer?
Yeah, there was a Mercedes dealership that was broken into. And I don't know if any of the cars were taken out. They probably were. But the footage I saw just showed the inside of the showroom floor and windshields broken and cars all damaged. And at least one of them, someone was apparently trying to start a bonfire in a Mercedes. So picture that, brand new Mercedes sitting in a showroom with the bonfire starting.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Oh, my gosh. So here's where we're at. We really don't know what's next with all this. And funny, we were talking, I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it was last week. My brain is like scattered right now. But car sales are not down as far as I thought they would have been, oddly enough.
True.
I thought, you know, somebody was talking 10, 12, 14%. I thought it would be like, you know, 80% off. But people still need to get around. And I guess while they were sitting around in their, you know, COVID lockdown, they were thinking, you know, I think it's time to get a new car. But listen, there's also many, many good deals on 0% financing, 84 months, no payments for 5, 6 months, whatever it is. The manufacturers are really working hard to sell this inventory. God bless them. I mean, you know, it's interesting times, Carl.
Well, it wasn't just that. I mean, you had a couple factors, right? First of all, every day people's leases run out and they have to turn their car in. So what happens when you have multiple months where you can't do that, where your leases have run out and you can't turn your car in? Well, a lot of lease companies basically, not surprisingly, were like, don't worry about getting your car turned in. We're not going to charge you fines or fees, you know, because you've been past your return date on your car. But at some point, we'll start to open dealerships up and then we'll take your car back. Well, once they did that, you're not going to have a couple cars. You're going to have a backlog of 3, 4, 8 weeks of lease returns across this country that now suddenly have to go in, and those people all need new vehicles. So, and that's just one example. That's lease returns. People get in accidents, people whose car finally just wears out. So there's, first of all, the pent-up demand from not being able to have any normal car activity for multiple weeks, multiple months. So that's causing a lot of activity suddenly in the month of May. We saw that. And then had what you just said. You also had plenty of great deals during the Memorial Day weekend that even if you didn't need a car, you might have been tempted into buying one.
I'm tempted all the time. And
I'm always tempted. Trust me. I was like, stop going to the Dodge dealerships because you can get 0% for 8 years or whatever. And then you had people making money despite unemployment. I mean, I'm sure you heard this, Alan, but people were making more money between regular unemployment and coronavirus stimulus unemployment
than
they were making when they had a job.
Right.
So it's like, wow, I've got time to sit around. There's great deals being thrown in my face all the time about cars, and my income is higher now than it was a month ago.
Yeah, maybe I'll go buy a car. Temporarily, right. So, we're such, you know, impulse buying human beings as America.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I just don't know. It's, you know, I can't wait till things get back to normal. I mean, we used to complain about normal and whatever normal was, and we used to go, oh, you know, my life sucks. You know, our lives were good, damn it. You know, they really were, you know? Comparison to this, yeah. COVID virus and rioting and insanity, our lives were good, you know?
Alan, I call it the stub toe phenomenon.
Yeah.
Which is, if you've got pancreatic cancer, guess what your probably most largest concern is that you're, you know, complaining, rightfully complaining about on a daily basis, okay?
Right, yeah.
If you are in perfect health, except you just stubbed your toe, guess what you're most likely yelling about for that day, right after you, you know? So it doesn't matter how good you got it, you'll find something to yell about.
You know, it's so true, so true. You know, it's funny. I hurt my back the other day because I actually did some work, and I have no stomach muscles at all except to actually... Actually, it's my colon that has muscles. My stomach doesn't have any. Just the part that chews up the food and spits it out the back. But, you know, I had such a backache because I tried to pick up something. And I mean, it was like I went to the chiropractor 4 times. It still hurts right now. But on the third time, Carl, I was standing looking down. You know, I was standing at the top of the stairway looking down, and my wife walks up. She goes, what's up? It was like I was looking down thinking to myself, this is going to be hard to walk down those stairs.
Yeah.
And I felt the urge to cry. I swear to you, this is true, because it was so frustrating to me, right? I said to my chiropractor, I go, you know, I'm going to be 60 years old in a couple of weeks. I said, I haven't cried in years. I feel like crying from this pain. He goes, well, I don't know about all the emotional problems you're having, but let me fix your back. I thought, I've honestly become a more emotional human being over this stuff, Carl. God, unbelievable.
Dude, back pain. I messed up my back years ago, and it had been the days, and I thought like I was getting better. And you know what I did? I sneezed.
You what?
And I had the exact same. I sneezed.
Sneeze.
I had sneezed since I'd injured my back, and I just wasn't even thinking about it. And I felt like my back was not terrible, but my moves certain ways, and I freaking sneezed.
Oh my God.
I was like you. I was basically
here it
a ball
is.
Of tears.
The worst thing I've
my
experienced.
Whole body lit up.
The worst thing was trying to bear down to go to the bathroom. No! It's like, oh no, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay, we'll take a break. Carl Brower, thank you, sir. You make me laugh.
Yeah. Oh. Great being on with you, Alan.
Kelly Blue Book is at KBB.com. KBB.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Coming up next, BJ Colleen. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Oh, dear me. What a day. Thanks to Dodge for sponsoring the show. Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. I got to tell you, I was thinking about those 70 Hellcats and different cars that got stolen. That had to be the best day of some of those guys' lives. I mean, if you're a looter and a thief and you're rioting and the next thing you're doing is you're driving out. I mean, that's like, all I can say is it's nirvana for the devils of this world. BJ Colleen now joining us. BJ, you're stepping into some dangerous waters here. I want you to know that.
I'm a little afraid. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I can keep up with the insanity that you've been doing on this show, Alan. I mean, I could hold my own, but that was a lot. That was over the top.
You know what? Listen, in this crazy world that we're living in right now, we might as well have some fun. If the looters and the rioters can steal Hellcats, and it's like they're having fun, why can't we have fun? Okay, anyway, I'll stop.
Our fun doesn't end when the cops catch us.
that's true. They give us a ticket and let us go.
That's right.
You know what? Knock on wood. I haven't had a ticket in a long time. I'm due a ticket.
Well, because you haven't really gone anywhere.
That's the problem. And I get a ticket every year. And I'm long overdue a ticket right now.
You totally just jinxed yourself, you know.
I'm good with it, though.
I'm not even going with that bad juju, I'll tell you right now.
I'm going with it. I'm going to do some bad stuff. Anyway, do as I say, not as I do. Sorry. So what is going on in your life?
Well, I'm back to getting press cars again. Woo-hoo!
Nice.
I'm happy. I just got the 2021 Kia Seltos, 2021. Wow. That's just scary saying that, isn't it?
It's so weird.
Yeah. And Kia's, you know, we love Kia vehicles. We own a Kia Sedona minivan, and it's getting up there in miles, that's for sure. But Kia's been a great vehicle, and they've got this new Kia Seltos, and it fits in between the Soul and the Sportage. And I'm like, do you really need to slice up one more little area here?
All right. I think everybody knows what a Soul is because of those funny commercials they had with the gerbils or whatever they were. It's like a crossover sport utility, and it's a little bigger than the Soul, right?
Yeah, it's like Jeep Renegade size.
Gotcha. Okay.
Bigger Soul and smaller than the Sportage, so... Huh. And I really didn't think, okay, why do you need this vehicle in the slot? But you know what? It actually makes sense because the Soul's a little kind of funky, I think, for some people. And the Sportage is a little bit dressed up. So this, like I said, really kind of fits in the whole Jeep Renegade kind of area. It actually shares the Hyundai Kona platform, which we love the Kona. We were in Hawaii, remember?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that was good. It's very off-roady looking. It's got a little bit more aggressive than the Soul and Sportage. And they also say, you know, the Compass is a competitor, too. That makes sense. But I kind of like the way this vehicle looked because it wasn't like polished Kia. It was like, hey, let's have some fun kind of Kia thing. Right, so it was pretty cool.
You know, it's interesting because if you look back, let's go back 25 years. You and I were.
Well, if you're going to do that, you have to do this. And wave your fingers. You know, that's the go back sign when you watch the movies. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right. Exactly.
The way back. Okay, now you can talk.
So 25 years ago, car companies had multiple different sedans and coupes and things like that. And today, here we are, fast forward. It's okay because people want these to have multiple different size SUV crossover vehicles because people aren't buying sedans anymore, if you know what I mean. So
no, they're not. Yeah. I agree. But unless you're BMW, which has, you know, there's a model for every single letter of the alphabet, and you can't figure it out. But other than that, but the Seltos is pretty cool. They've got five different trim levels. They've got two engines, one's turbocharged at 1.6, one's a 2 liter. You know, it's amazing how much stuff you can get into a vehicle. This one starts at 21.9 and fully loaded out the door. Mine was 29.4 because I had the top of the line SX model. And really, it's, you can get a pretty good all-wheel drive vehicle for under $22,000. So I think that's impressive overall. And that's typical of Kia. Yeah. And you can get all-wheel drive as standard on all but the S model. So again, it's vehicles designed for people that want to, you know, use it in the snow or go do a little bit light off-roading, and it's possible, so it's kind of cool. Yeah. The engine that I drove was a 1.6 liter, had 195 horsepower, 175 pound-feet of torque. Could have used a little bit more power,
I think,
because the all-wheel drive made it heavy.
Was it adequate? So, that's my question. So
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I just, you know, us, we want more power. I mean, put a, you know, a supercharged engine here and I'm happy.
Right.
So, put a big blower on the hood, you know, so it'd be fun.
That's
fun. It also had a 7-speed. This one was connected to 7-speed DCT, which is a dual clutch transmission. And I know you like me to explain things instead of just saying it. So dual clutch basically means that the shifts are going to be a little faster because they're kind of preset up to shift before you actually shift.
Crazy.
And, yeah, and it's pretty impressive, but the only problem with it was when you were in sport mode, those shifts were so fast, and I've never actually experienced this before. They were so rapid, it was almost a little bit too much. There wasn't enough spacing between the gears, but it was like, bam, 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 bam. I mean, you were like flying through, like you were racing. It was really kind of wild, actually. Yeah. But in regular mode, it was a little slow, so the transmission needs a little bit of work, but it's not terrible. It's a lot of features on the inside, pretty much everything you can want, because I did have the loaded trim. The biggest odd thing here is that Kia now is going to make a lot of the safety features optional or not available.
Really?
And we know Kia and Hyundai have always like loaded it up, right?
Yeah.
With a lot of safety features. But I guess as these advanced driving systems come into play, they're starting to get expensive. And you know, you got to decide, am I keeping the car portable or am I going to load it up with the safety features? But still, like I said, mine was right under 30 and it had all the safety features standard. But if you got into the LX model, you're going to have to pay for it. So.
You have such a calming effect on me. I don't know what to think. I'm happy though, because I was thinking about that. I haven't had a ticket in a year and a half. Maybe I could do a little rioting around town in my K5 Blazer. You know, some hooting and hollering, donuts.
Rioting.
Did I say rioting? Oh. No, riding around town. Oh, just sounds like. No! Let's take a break. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television, and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I'm posting a bunch of good stuff on Drive Tribe. I have a channel there. I have a tribe. Imagine that. Something called Drive Tribe, and you have your own tribe. Well, it's kind of a Facebook for car guys and gals. You might want to check it out. Jeremy Clarkson and his crew from Top Gear started it after they walked away from that whole situation. And it's pretty darn cool now. They've got, I don't know, millions of people, car guys and gals. DriveTribe.com. Get the app. find Alan Taylor and you'll see some fun videos. We're talking with BJ Colleen. She's talking about a car she's driving. Calming effect on me, but it's all right. I needed to calm.
I have my own tribe because I'm Jewish, so it's okay. So
talking about the Kia Seltos, and then I want to, when you get done, before we get out of time here, I want to talk about, you know, how the things are kind of starting up again for the auto industry finally, but finish up on that one, on the Seltos.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just finish up on the Seltos real fast. There's a couple of features I want to point out because it's on the Kia. It's on Hyundai's Genesis, and you're going to start seeing them on some other cars, but this one's kind of cool. One's called Safe Exit Assist, and for people exiting the car, it'll kind of let you know that other vehicles are approaching and using the blind spot monitor. So if a vehicle's detected, the driver will be alerted with an audible warning and a visual warning in the instrument cluster that there's traffic, so somebody doesn't open their door into traffic, which, you know, for kids, I absolutely love that. And then the other driving assist.
Wait a minute. Okay, we'll get to that. I have the same thing on my 73 GM K5 Blazer. It's when people start talking nasty. I put my foot on their butt and push them out the door into traffic.
I like that.
Yeah, it's that's unsafe.
Into traffic?
Yeah, right into traffic.
That's great.
Don't sass talk me. Home. Get out of my car. It's like that, you know, with a foot on the ass. Anyway.
I like that. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. We'll see who adds that to their fleet. Highway Driving Assist is the other one. Basically, it assists drivers in maintaining the center of the lane at an appropriate speed, which means that it is basically autonomous driving, but you still kind of have to put your hands on the wheel from time to time. You're supposed to have your hands on the wheel anyway, but It's all about, you know, the autonomous vehicles and where we're headed. So we're closer than you think we are. It's kind of cool. But a couple other things on the vehicle. The seats are real comfortable. There's a lot of room, more than I thought there would be. The road noise is a little bit bad on rough surfaces, but that might just be the tires. And then the UVO system, which is their connectivity system in the minivan, I love it. In this vehicle, it was really, really slow to respond, and the navigation had trouble finding places, but at least it didn't tell me to talk quieter like the Volkswagen did. So I'm kind of happy about that.
All this for under 30 grand, too, in a nice little crossover SUV with that 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's hard to beat the Kias and the Hyundais and things like this these days. They really have taken all the data that they've been able to collect through the data-driven universe that we live in these days, and now what's coming out the other side is what you see right here and what you're driving right here for, you know, between 22 or something, you said, and 30 grand.
That's it.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And then you can get 35-year financing now, just like a house. $9 a really? Month.
It's amazing. And you might get it paid off in those 35 years. So
We got about a minute and a half left. So thanks to Kia for letting BJ drive the car and talk about it. I can't wait to get behind the wheel myself because, you know what? This is what we do. But I haven't had a freaking car in a long time, so I have to go out and buy cars to test. That's what I get for living in the boonies, right? What are your thoughts on the auto industry opening up, by the way?
Well, it's nice to see everybody's getting back to work, and the casinos are opening here in Vegas, so you know where I'll be tonight. Trying to win money to buy a new car. But I love the fact that everybody's getting back into it. You know, they're all taking extra precautions, which is really good. Are people going to get sick? Probably. But if you have the flu, you're going to get sick too. So just be smart about it, people. But, you know, when you're dealing with a factory with a lot of that, it's kind of tough. But we're glad because they're already selling cars again. And let's get this country back to work. What do you say, Alan?
I say hoo-yah! I agree. I think the coronavirus thing has seen better days and for itself. And in other words, it's dying off as it should, as the sun is shining and spring and summer. I think this is kind of a great time to start making stuff happening, America. All right. BJ, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Lovely. Fun as always.
Yep. I've had a pretty crazy day. I think I need a nap. I need a cheeseburger, a vanilla cream soda, and then about a two-hour nap. That's what weekends are for. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks to all our great sponsors, Dodge, Kia, Brembo, Subaru, Shell. Without them, we wouldn't even be here. Nap time! See you next week. It's The Drive. Sometimes I feel so tired. But I know I'm 5-1 singer, I got to do, I ramble on.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.